Monster Man, Episode 358, Vapor Ghoul and Velia.
Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games.
In today's episode, we are continuing and almost concluding our journey through the Undead section of Creature Catalog, the 1986 supplement for Basic Dungeons & Dragons. Before we do that, a quick word about background noise. It is a beautiful spring day here in Cambridge, and to get some fresh air in here, I've got the windows open. And so you may hear some noise coming from outside, neighbor kids playing in their yards, birds chirping, all that kind of thing. I think it's lovely, personally. I don't know how much it's going to show up on this mic. I'm getting a new microphone soon, so even if it does, then hopefully that should deal with that problem. But just in case there's a little more background noise than usual, I wanted to apologize for it, but I'm enjoying the atmosphere too much to close the windows. All right, let's talk about today's monsters. First up, we have the Vapor Ghoul. A bit like the Sacral, they form in, quote, areas of strife where the vapors are heavy, close quotes. Now, you may be asking yourself, the vapors? What vapors? And the answer is the vapors in the scenario XS2 Thunderdelve Mountain. Now, you may remember Thunderdelve Mountain as being the origin of the Fyrsnaka and the Red Worms, I think they're called. It's like a volcanic environment, so I guess they mean vapors from the volcano, or vapors from the Fyrsnaka, perhaps. Again, it seems like the description was just kind of ported directly over from Thunderdelve Mountain without really giving it the necessary context, which would be about par for the course for this book. Now, I have not read Thunderdelve Mountain, so I can only go with what I've read elsewhere, which is that the mind paralysis ability, which is kind of the central feature of the Vapor Ghoul, doesn't really come up in the scenario because there wouldn't be a good way to adjudicate it. XS2 is a solo adventure. So, odd. Anyway, the way that the Vapor Ghoul attacks you is that it can, you know, try and give you the old mind paralysis. And what this does is it causes you to repeat your most recent action. This is kind of interesting. I like the idea of an effect that kind of causes people to do the same thing over and over, a bit like having a jammed program register in Robo Rally, where you have cards that give you actions, but one of them can get stuck, so that in that part of the turn, you just keep doing the same action over and over again. You have to kind of try and think your way around it. Just like Robo Rally, although it's a very slow game, especially when you have all the expansions and things. Anyway, the mind paralysis attack also drains your intelligence, and if your int drops to zero, then you go comedy insane. Now, I say comedy insane because, like any role-playing game, Dungeons & Dragons does not really pay a lot of attention to the issues of mental illness. But unlike some other RPGs, I think we can kind of give it a bit more of a pass because it is not remotely attempting to do that. Complaining that sanity mechanics in D&D don't represent the complexity of real mental illness, I mean, you know, they can get in line with all the other mechanics that don't represent the real complexity of whatever they're about. Whereas if you look at something like Call of Cthulhu with its sanity mechanic, you know, I think that's a little more open to criticism because it's such a big part of what the game is about. Although I think that the sanity mechanic does the literary insanity that Call of Cthulhu is about, but, you know, it's not realistic, but it's a little bit closer to the fiction that is the inspiration for the game, although not perfectly. Anyway, the specific kind of comedy crazy that you go when the Vapor Ghoul reduces your int to zero is that you begin to believe that you are the opposite of whatever you were. So, for example, if you were a fighter, you might start to believe that you're a wizard, and you go around, like, affecting to cast spells and waving your fingers at things, and then imagining that those things have been hit by a fireball. Now, while hilarious, it's not really hilarious, but while hilarious, I feel like this would get old pretty fast. I sort of feel like the mind paralysis and the comedy crazy are two slightly different versions of the same idea, which is that, you know, the Vapor Ghoul messes with your sense of identity. It messes with your sense of time. It kind of, you know, it has damaging mental status effects. I get that, but I don't see that they belong on the same monster. I almost feel like they'd be more appropriate to a Mind Flayer or whatever, right? Although, maybe those abilities are already in AD&D anyway, in the Mind Flayer's psychic combat, because I haven't read the psionics rules, and I'm not going to. But here, they feel like two different abilities that don't necessarily belong on the same monster together. But both of them are fine, and the Vapor Ghoul is fine, but it's very noticeable that it kind of lacks the narrative hook of the Sacral. And what's weird is that it was clearly intended for more than just XS2 Thunderdelf Mountain, because it has mechanics that can't be implemented in that scenario. So it's not a case of just taking a monster from a specific encounter and then kind of losing what makes it special when it's generalized. Next up, we have the Velia, and the Velia is an underwater monster, and like most basic D&D underwater monsters, it comes from, you guessed it, X7, the War Rafts of Kron. Lot of aquatic monsters in the War Rafts of Kron, as you might expect. The Velia is, quote, a weak form of underwater vampire, close quotes. Is there a strong form of underwater vampire that I am not aware of? I'm perfectly willing to accept that there is, but I suspect that they mean something more like it's an aquatic form of a weak vampire. I don't know. But anyway, the Velia is, you know, is a vampire. It's got energy drain. It kind of mixes together the imagery of the vampire with the imagery of the siren, because, you know, vampires kind of seductive mind control powers and all that stuff, and it has the same in the form of a song that can charm people, which is fair enough. Like a vampire, it can turn into different forms, so it's got a humanoid form, in this case a kind of blue aquatic humanoid with gills. It's got a manta ray form, which I assume corresponds to the bat form. It can turn into a current of water, which corresponds to the mist form, and it can turn into a mako shark, which corresponds to the wolf form. When a Velia drains a person of all their energy, they do not turn into a Velia, like a sort of traditional vampire. Instead, they become whites, and that is why you may find Velias accompanied by squads of whites. Or by some mako sharks, which again, kind of fill in the role of the wolves, right? Although, it's hard to see the Velia, like, I don't even know what noise sharks make. It's hard to imagine the Velia, you know, gazing out of its underwater gothic castle, listening to the noise of the mako sharks, and going, but like a terrestrial vampire, the Velia does sleep in a coffin, and it can be destroyed. You know, one of the things that can happen to it is if you sanctify the coffin, then the Velia can't sleep there anymore, and it has to kind of find somewhere else to go. And every day that it doesn't spend in its coffin, it takes damage that it can't regenerate. That's pretty cool. You can also expose it to the air. So if you take the Velia out of the water, it's, you know, it takes damage as if you're, like, putting a vampire in sunlight or whatever. Or you can, you know, get it with the old wooden stake. I like that there's a whole section on weaknesses here. This monster entry is a little more organized and readable than quite a lot of the other ones. I do think that there's sort of an assumption among the writers, and I don't know that it's an incorrect assumption, that the readers are, like, hungry for information about new monsters. A lot of the sort of modern trends in scenario and bestiary design are based on the idea that readers are in a heck of a hurry. And I think that within the world of old school gaming, that may very well be true, right? That a lot of us are older, don't have as much free time, maybe have demanding jobs or our parents or whatever. And, you know, don't have time to, like, sink in and luxuriate in a bestiary. Whereas I think these older ones are kind of written with that assumption that you're gonna just sort of, you know, sit there and enjoy them like a fine soda pop. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I do feel like looking at the Velia thing and seeing that there's a little subhead that says weaknesses is maybe the easiest to use thing compared to some of the other ones where there is weakness information, but it's just buried in a big block of text. You have to read the whole thing to find it out. So at the end of my notes for the Velia, I've just written kind of dumb, and they are kind of dumb. I mean, the problem is that they are basically conventional vampires. It's very hard to imagine the campaign in which you're spending so much time underwater that you're gonna be hunting vampires down there. But on the other hand, maybe all that means is that I just need to read the War Rafts of Kron, because apparently that's the scenario where you do that. I don't know. There is some suggestion that, like, the Velia are that way because they were put under a curse, and that, I think, could be a little interesting, because the idea of there being a whole species of underwater vampires is daft, unless we assume that what's happening is that some kind of, there's a suggestion that they kind of, like, have an Atlantis-like city that sank beneath the waves, and they were condemned to be vampires for something they did. So this idea that maybe the sinking was, you know, punishment from the gods or some vengeful wizard or something, there might be something in there. I think that you're going to have to play it very cleverly in order to get player characters to care about a blue underwater vampire that can turn into a manta ray and his pack of mako sharks in anything other than a strictly tactical capacity. Like, They'll care about them because they have to fight the swine and he's got energy drain and everybody hates energy drain. But beyond that, I think it could be challenging. Anyway, that is about all the monsters that we have time for today. In our next episode, we will be looking at the last monster in Creature Catalog, the Weird. Now, after that, I've said all along that we were going to go ahead and take a look at the second edition Monsters Manual, but focusing only on monsters that are new to that book or that are significantly changed from their first edition versions. But before we do that, I'd like to take a little break. Not in terms of producing episodes, I'm going to keep at it, but what I'm going to do is look at lots of different monsters from different sources. So if you've got a short indie monster book or magazine article or blog post that you think I should check out and do an episode on, my Twitter and my email are at the end of this episode, or you can leave a comment on the Patreon site. So if you've got someone whose work you'd like to promote, maybe send me a message and I'll take a look at it. Although obviously, depending on how many I get, might not be able to do all of them. But so yeah, I'm going to take a little break and do some different monsters just as a kind of palate cleanser before we move ahead and get into Monsters Manual. But that's all coming up right here on Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons attribution license. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.